Hello, this is Janet Meshagan Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, I want to share with you something very special and important. It's a prophetic lesson that the Lord gave me, and it's a special message to true believers. What I want to begin today talking about is what is a true believer, and of course I'm talking about a true believer in Jesus Christ. Well, look, let's begin by looking at what he himself said. Let's look at Matthew 7:21-27. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name?' Then I will say to them openly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me. You act wickedly, disregarding my commands.'" This is from the Amplified Version. "So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." Now, who is referenced as the rock? Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, the rock of our salvation, the rock that the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Verse 26, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand." Now, why is it foolish to build a house upon a sand with no supports? Surely down at the beach, you know, they do build on the sand, but the sand is not the foundation. You'll see them driving all kinds of structure down into the sand so that that is a stable force that holds the hotel, motel, whatever it is it's building. Why? Because sand shifts. You know, in James, he's referencing someone who doesn't believe. It says the one who doesn't believe or believes one day and doesn't believe the next is like a man driven with the wind and tossed. It says, "Let not that man think that he'll receive anything from the Lord." And you see, when our house is built upon faith in Jesus Christ, it's the same today, it's the same tomorrow, it's the same next day, or should be. And if it changes according to our circumstances, then we need to re-up in our relationship to him. Because being built upon the rock, you don't move back and forth. Now, all around you, the winds may blow, the storms may rage, but you're not moved because you're built upon the rock. So this unwise man builds his house on the sand. And verse 27, a very sad verse, says, "And the rain fell, and the floods came." Now I want to point out something to you. Two houses were built. Isn't that right? And rain fell upon both of them. Isn't that also correct? What was the difference in these two houses? One is built upon the rock, the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ. The other built upon shifting sand. So it's a house, basically, you could say, built upon your circumstances, built upon what you can do, built upon the work of your hands, built upon how other people are treating you or doing you. And you know this, the one that exalts you today may decide to demote you tomorrow. If you're depending upon that, you can be sorely disappointed. You know, the people of God repeatedly made the mistake, if you read the Old Testament, of depending on kings of other countries, going to other leaders for help. And the Lord did not like that, because he has to be the help. He has to be the source of salvation. All other ground is sinking sand. Isn't that right? He said, "And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was the fall of it." When that house fell, when the sand shifted, there was nothing left. What are you building your house on? What are you building your life on? Is it on that relationship with Jesus Christ and belief in his word? Or is it in still, even though you may have accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, believing in what you can do and what you can accomplish? Oh, that's a stressful place to be. Let's go on further and see what Jesus said. What is a true believer? In Matthew 25, 1 through 13, this is Jesus speaking. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now I want to point out to you, he's talking about 10 women who are all the same in terms of being virgins. They took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And if you've ever heard about the marriage custom in those days, there would be an entourage with the bride. The groom would have come months before, ask for her hand in marriage. This is definitely the condensed version here. Would come and ask for her hand in marriage. Then he would go back to his father's house, and he would prepare a little chamber, place, room for her, for both of them to stay once they were married. And then he would come back to get her, and she would not know the time that he was come. She would know the season. Well, she certainly knew when he left, he wasn't immediately coming back because he had to prepare the house. But as time went on, and she knew, well, he's had enough time, she begins looking for him in that season, and then she had an entourage with her. And so this is very much likened to how we, and Christ himself represented his coming. Five of them were foolish, that is, they were thoughtless, without forethought. And five were wise, that is, sensible, intelligent, and prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. They had lamps, they had oil, but they didn't have what it was going to take to endure. Now, I have recently talked to you about living water, life-giving water. Jesus, again, said, if you'll come to me and drink, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, an unending supply. When we come to Jesus Christ, we accept him as Savior and Lord, and we don't go on, and we don't mature, and we don't stay connected to the Holy Spirit and live our lives led by the Holy Spirit, we get dry, just like these lamps did. Let's see what happened. Some of you already know. But the wise took flask of oil along with them also with their lamps. So they had that never-ending supply, and of course, practically, their supply would have ended if their lamps had burned long enough, but in this respect, they had what they needed. While the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they all began nodding their heads and fell asleep. Now, they all fell asleep, didn't they? They're all virgins. They're all waiting with the bride. They all fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and went and put their own lamps in order. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "There will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the dealers and buy for yourselves." But while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." But he replied, "I solemnly declare to you, I do not know you. I am not acquainted with you. Watch therefore." Now he gives this parable, and you may say, well, what does that mean? And I've interjected some things to help you understand, and we'll say more, but all you have to do now is read verse 13. He says, "Watch therefore, give strict attention, and be cautious and active. For you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come." Well, we could assign different meanings to the oil and the amount of oil and the virgins. We do know the virgins do represent all those that call themselves Christians. But some are not looking for his coming. Some are not being obedient. Some have gotten dry, have no anointing in their lives, and they miss that coming. This is what Jesus himself said. Then in Luke 4:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not practice what I tell you?" So what is a true believer? Well, we know first of all that we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace, the work that Jesus Christ has done. But we're saved to do works. We're saved to perform the will of the Father here through us. Christ manifested through us. I can only go on what Jesus said. If we're living in rebellion against God, then I can't necessarily say that this message that I'm going to be sharing would apply to that person who is disobedient to God. Because if we don't believe His word, then how can we choose to apply it where we want it to apply? There's a scripture, I believe it's in Psalm 51, and it says, and I'll put it in my own words, He says, "Why do you reference my word or present my word to me, saying, why don't you do this or that, saying that you don't obey the word? You don't respect the word. So why do you only use it when it'll benefit you, so to speak?" Do you ever have somebody that only calls you when they need something? That means you don't really have a relationship with them. Isn't that right? What does it mean to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ? We recognize His authority, and we desire to align our lives to His life. How? By our own effort? Well, obviously, you're going to have to do something, but you can't do it by yourself. It's allowing Christ to do it through you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not putting a weight on you that you can't bear, as Jesus said the Pharisees did. It said you put this weight, the law, on them, and you don't even lift one finger to help them carry it. It's not putting a weight on you. It's saying, submit your will to the Lord Jesus Christ. If He truly has saved you, then He's worthy to be obeyed, and He's worthy of your life, for you to submit your life to Him and let Him have His way. I was recently speaking, and I was going to say the remedy for something was to just say, and I was going to say, just say no. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, just say, Jesus. See, you can't in your own power say no to the things you need to refuse. It's too much for you. But put Jesus there up against that thing that's coming against you, that temptation, that trial, that disappointment, and you'll see. As the scripture says, resist the devil. How do you resist? By putting the word, by putting Jesus Christ before him, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you want to know you're a true believer, ask the Lord to have His Holy Spirit reveal the areas in your life where there may be disobedience, rebellion, ignorance, and He'll help you. Let's pray about this. Father, I thank You that You have given us a living hope. Lord, You didn't just save us where it all begins with our salvation. Father, how we would be lost without You. But Lord, You live on with us, and You form Yourself in us by way of the Holy Spirit. You help us to walk in obedience by Your Spirit of obedience being in us. Thank You, Lord, that we can know that we're true believers and that we can access all that You've promised, because through Jesus, the devourer has already been rebuked and exiled, and it is in His name and authority and under His blood that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord? Well, if He's powerful enough to save you from your sin, and to take you into a wonderful eternity with Him, isn't He worthy of your obedience by your submitting your will to Him? Oh, He'll be obedient through you. Just let Him do it. And I'm praying for you.